KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
Arrhythmias that occur in the top part of the heart can be merely distracting or quite serious, such as atrial fibrillation in the atria, which carries a risk for stroke. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero says the most concerning rhythm disorder occurs in the ventricle.
The bottom part has some arrhythmias. The most significant one is ventricular fibrillation, which is the cause of sudden cardiac death, which is the number one cause of death in this country. It almost outweighs all cancers combined. Unfortunately, that could be the first presentation of heart disease, is sudden death. A small percentage of patients who show up with their first heart attack have sudden death, an arrhythmia problem, and that's devastating.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Debora Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Debora.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. The morning mystery movie clip is coming up in just about 20 minutes. Nice little gift card we will tell you about. Also, Dawn's Big Three on the way. Cut Sheet Part 2, what's on tap for the Dawn Show, who won Twitter today, and today in music history. Also, great job out of Phil Almquist. He has handed me the squatter rights in the state of Pennsylvania. We will give you those squatter rights coming up in just a little bit. In case you're thinking about occupying somebody's property, we'll tell you what you can do and what you can't do. Not that anybody in this audience would actually do this, but we've got the facts for you. But I thought this was a very, very fascinating story. And I got to tell you, I'm intrigued by this. This is courtesy of the New York Post, with a headline reading, "Parents of well-behaved kids rewarded with restaurant discount." And many people are saying it is ridiculous. They go on to say in the story, "It pays to be a good parent at this restaurant. An unnamed eatery is awarding parents who know how to keep butts in seats," according to a viral post on Reddit. The thread, published in the subreddit group Mildly Interesting, showed the cropped image of an ostensible restaurant receipt with an itemized discount line that reads, "Well-behaved kids." In this case, the total savings of the unenumerated order came out to $6.72, and parents and sympathizers on the social media forum found the promotion insulting and unfair. Quote, "As someone who has what people continue to refer to as well-behaved baby, I think this is really stupid. Kids are people. They're human beings. And not all of them are going to be well-behaved all the time. That's life," wrote a disgruntled parent. Quote, "This is insane and dumb for a restaurant. Having someone make a judgment call on every single table with kids, unless it's a literal guarantee to make them come back, is ridiculous," blasted another parent. Quote, "We have a 3-year-old and a 5-month-old. I avoid restaurants at all costs. There is no pleasure there for us," confessed another Redditor. So I don't see the problem with this. I actually like this. I would actually like to be on the receiving end of said well-behaved children restaurant discount. I don't know about you guys, but when I go to a restaurant with my 9-year-old twin daughters, I make the mandate and the rule, there will be no phones and there will be no tablets. So whatever you're bringing with you in the car, on the car ride to said restaurant, is fine. But when we park and we go in, it's family time. How was your day? How was school? What did you have for lunch? How's dance? Why did you only get a B- on this test? We're gonna have conversations, and with conversations comes face-to-face communication, something I think today's generation truly hates and has been adversely affected by always staring at a screen and a device. But that being said, I've always tried to make it a major, major priority that my daughters will behave when they're at a restaurant. Even when they were 4, 5, or 6, like I was kind of that real strict, stringent dad. I didn't want the other group across in the other side of the restaurant, like, look at those unruly heathens over there throwing crayons around, spilling lemonade. Like, you know, I don't want to disrupt anybody else's, you know, enjoyment and leisurely activity. So I've always kind of been like that kind of dad in public. And I would like to think that when you have children that are acting a fool at a restaurant, in all likelihood, it's the result of bad parenting. Now, look, if you have a 5-month-old, I got it. A 2-year-old, I got it. Bottle time, feeding time, crying, been there, done that, 2 at 1 shot. Totally get it. But why would people be ticked off by this? I don't know about you, but if I get a tab for $113 and restaurant X says, well, you know what? Your kids have good manners. They were, you know, well-behaved and quiet. You know, we're going to take off $9.81 for a well-behaved children. I'm not objecting to that. Who's objecting to this? Why would anybody be outraged by this? I don't understand the beef with this story. Now, I don't frequent Reddit. I try to stay away from all these threads and, you know, I'm going to post a question and read 4,000 answers as to what expert X believes is the case. But, I mean, Dawn, I got to believe that your boys have been well raised by good parents. That, you know, this is, I don't know, should we reward good behavior? Or should it be the expectation? Maybe that's the way to frame the question.
I think it's a great idea by, you know, the private sector. If they want to reward families, they want to give a little discount. Maybe somebody who felt they should get a discount, they're like, hey, what about that discount you advertised? And they're like, yeah, mm-hmm. you didn't qualify.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's who complained about it. But no, I think that's, you know, incentivizing people to either stay away from a certain restaurant.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, right.
Or incentivizing if you have kids with great behavior. I think that's wonderful.
Stocker, you said you had a lot of questions about this.
No, I just, first of all, don't you think, because Don brings up a very valid point, that don't you think that this is, they're opening themselves up to lawsuits? Because.
Why?
Who's determining.
The restaurant.
Beauty is in the eye of the beholder.
This is my establishment. I reserve the right to refuse service to anybody.
I understand that.
I reserve the right to give you a discount.
But what about the parents who say, you know what, my kids were super well behaved, and then the server was like, no, they weren't. And the parents were like, yes, they were. And the server was like, no, they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? I don't think
it's at the discretion of the server, would be my guess. Because if you're a server, what's the last thing you want to do?
Yeah.
You want to minimize your tab?
Agree.
No, you want to maximize that. You want 25% of $113. You don't want 25% of $98.
Yeah.
Because you're living off of tips. So this to me would be like the owner or the general manager, if it's a chain, you know, if like Red Robin all of a sudden says, hey, we're going to let our general sales managers all determine good parenting discounts, and we'll give you a 5% off if your little snot-nosed germ-creating little booger machine isn't a total pain in the butt to everybody dining in our establishment.
I'm glad they word it as good parenting discounts and not good kids.
Well, technically it says well-behaved kids.
Oh, because I liked the way you worded it better, Nick.
Well, I think
good parenting.
Because I think well-behaved kids are a sign of good parenting in a world where I think we do need more fathers that will get kids on the right track.
I mean, you have girls. I will say, maybe Greg can speak to this, because, you know, boys are just boys.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're just, and that's
just why. I was just going to say that.
And they're good little boys. And so I don't expect, I'm sorry, but when my boys were little, they're not like the girls. They're wired differently, mm-hmm. which is why, and back in the day, Greg Stocker and Zioli would tease me because we would only go to Applebee's because Applebee's like welcomes in
now
families and boys.
Now I get it. Yep.
At half price boneless wings.
You know?
Yeah.
But we really avoided just going out because they're little boys or maybe if there's an outdoor place and they can kind of run around, they're wired differently. It doesn't make them bad or it doesn't make you a bad parent, but I just think you have to know your own limitations.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
And boys versus girls present separate sets of challenges. And the one thing I have noticed, and if you are a dad out there with one daughter or multiple daughters, like in my case, God forbid you have twins like I do, explains why my hair's gone. But like the reality is this, girls, when they get together, what I have noticed in my own little personal world, especially with dance girls. So my girls are usually pretty good when they're just together. But if you throw in a third female to the equation, all hell breaks loose. And it's my one daughter and the friend are teaming up on the other daughter or vice versa. And they get real petty. They kind of splinter off into little factions and they gossip about each other and accuse the other one of doing something or saying something that the other one didn't. I don't know if that's the same with boys out there. If you,
yeah, you never want
boys.
Three.
Yeah. It's always the odd number, right?
Yeah. You want, whether it's boys or girls, yeah, you want four.
You don't want to be outnumbered.
No.
True.
Well, let me just say this, too. Dawn is correct where boys are wired differently. But, like, the only people that would complain about this, in my opinion, are the ones without kids. Because I never, before I had kids, I would go out to restaurants and be like, boy, these parents really need to control these kids. Mm-hmm. These kids are acting like a-holes.
Yeah.
But now I get it. So I completely understand it. So I think the only people that would have a problem with any sort of kids discounts or whatever are people who don't have kids because they don't understand it. Because most parents with kids, if you're out at a restaurant and you see kids misbehaving, you look at the parents and just be like, I see you. I understand. I get it.
And I think,
I've been there.
I think kind of the unspoken, like, eye contact works in a restaurant where, yeah, like exactly what you're saying. But I think some of the venues where it's really out of control with bad parents and unruly children, I don't know about you, but I've noticed this, the airport. Especially once you get onto your flight and you're sitting down and you have the kid behind you who's yelling or kicking the back of the chair. And I think there's, I don't know what it is about airports and getting on an airplane specifically, but we've devolved into this unruly society. And there's something about being on a plane that causes people to just become very defensive in nature.
I have to ask you guys both a question because we're playing around with this in our heads. I'm going to ask Nick first. Nick, what age were your daughters the first time you took them on a plane?
That would have been to Disney in 2017, so about 3.5.
Wow. And how did they do?
One slept like a baby, the other one was a maniac.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dawn, you, how old were your kids when you first took them on a plane?
They were young. Yeah, we took when David was like 9 months old and Michael was 2-ish.
Oh, wow.
When we... maybe he was almost 3 when we went to Disney.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So they've been flying since they were little.
Have
so,
you flown with your son yet?
I have not. And here's the caveat on this. My wife is going to California next week for work, but she's going by herself. But there was almost a part of me that was just like, we should just go, like my son and I should just go with her just because I want to rip this Band-Aid off.
Mm-hmm.
My problem is not... I'm not worried about him because he's normally a good kid and he's... I think he'll be just fine. It's just that I'm an anxious flyer. So, like, I would kind of leave this whole thing up to my wife because I need to be, like, boozed up or something so I can sleep. You know what I mean? Because I hate flying.
So would you be on edge as far as being overreactionary to your son?
Exactly.
Like, if he just says one thing, you would take it out of context?
I'm an anxious flyer, so I would already be on edge. He could probably feel that in me. And if he, you know, acted up for a second or whatever, I would lose my mind.
Wow.
So, like, it's more about me than it is about him.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like I'm just going to let my wife travel with him and I'll meet them there.
Take notes, Dawn. So Greg's wife in California next week, presuming here, Greg has daddy duty. So if we get Moody Stalker next week, we know why.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any help at home right now.
But I would say the issue is more when they're, I mean, that's a long flight. Even if it's nonstop, you're looking at 5+ hours. Mm-hmm. And then how are his ears? We're in allergy season. the ear popping for little kids? And then does he get motion sickness? So my kids were really good travelers, but the problem was poor Michael, he would get motion. So he would just be on a flight vomiting.
Yeah.
And that's like not a picnic.
Yeah. For traveling when my girls were very small, Olivia, she would sleep in the car seat like a champ.
Yeah.
I mean, out. We drove from Bethlehem to Hilton Head, South Carolina when they were 2 years old. Mia stayed awake for almost the whole 12-hour drive. The only thing that would calm her down was playing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on loop on YouTube. Dawn, I'm not kidding you. When I tell you for 5 straight hours, all I heard was Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, I wanted to open up the door and just fall out of my Jeep onto the highway. But I digress. And I didn't, because I'm still here. All right, 855-839-1210. The Morning Mystery Movie clip in about 5 minutes. Dawn's Big Three as well. But first, a word from, who do I have here?
Nothing. I put the wrong person in IFB. I meant to talk to Dawn. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
About that.
We're going to tell you about Budget Blinds. This segment brought to you by Budget Blinds. Spring is here, and now is the time to budget. Budget Blinds is your one-stop shop for blinds, shades, shutters, custom drapery, and motorization. Visit budgetblinds.com for a free in-home consultation and the only no-questions-asked warranty in the business, budgetblinds.com. And we're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, it was so great to see Carrie and Bill at the Travis Manion Radiothon Friday. Thank you to all of you who joined us and donated. What an amazing event. But you can really get a sense of how important it is to give back to the community. Think about Carrie and Bill, especially when it comes to supporting our veterans. And we talked about Carrie's service as well. But they're tremendous guys and the exact type of people that I would want working in my home. So with a wealth of experience and a dedication to their field, the professionals at AMC do take pride in pride. You could probably, if you saw them on YouTube when I interviewed them, or if you heard them, you got that sense of pride already, right? And that's what you want when it comes to somebody properly maintaining and repairing your home. They are passionate about putting their customers first and then delivering that great experience, which is why they live by what they call the AMC difference. They do not sell people things that you don't need. And AMC finds the best and the most cost-effective solution for each and every customer. They value your time. They're going to respect your time, so they keep to schedule and communicate openly with everybody. Believe it or not, warm weather is going to be here soon before you know it, and you're going to want your AC, your air conditioning, ready to keep your home cool. So now's the time to call my friends at Anderson Mechanical Corporation, AMC. Just call them today. Schedule that spring tune-up at an awesome discount. Visit amcontheweb.com. amcontheweb.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us on YouTube, as almost 3,000 of you did on Friday over the course of 13 hours. Nice work out of everybody. Again, Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon in the books, and we beat last year's mark by well over $15,000. So again, we mentioned this to start the show this morning. I think the total was, what, $107,000 and change?
Yep.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yep. Great job.
Yep.
All right, it's 9:21. Let's get to our Morning Mystery Movie Clip.
And now, the Morning Mystery Movie Clip on Kale & Company. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You're not a zombie. You're talking. You're okay.
The hell I am.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that it was you. You.
Are you? What's with the getup?
Oh, I do it to blend in. You know, zombies don't mess with other zombies. Buddy of mine, makeup guy, showed me how to do this. Cornstarch. You know, some berries, a little licorice for the ladies. It suits my lifestyle. You know, I like to get out and do stuff. Just played 9 holes over Riviera. Just walked on. Nobody there.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, the great prize today only is a $50 gift card to Buona Va Italian Seafood Grill. $50 gift card today only to Buona Va Italian. Hopefully I didn't butcher that. B-U-O-N-A-V-A, Italian Seafood Grill. And it's a $50 gift card today if you are the winner at 855-839-1210. Caller 12 with the correct answer, 855-839-1210. You will get the $50 gift card. Best of luck. And without further ado, let's get to Dawn Stenzelin's Big 3 at 923.
It's the Big 3 and 9 on Kale & Company.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Other news of the day. So we are awaiting word, by the way, as far as Donald J. Trump is reportedly on the way to court. So this case is where he's on his way to a Manhattan courtroom. It's not the Letitia James case, but rather it's the other alleged case with the alleged hush money case. However, we're awaiting word on what's happening with Trump's social media company, True Social. Completed that merger, as I reported on Friday. It could net the former president more than $3 billion. What does that mean moving forward? Would he get the cash? Well, looks like maybe over a 6 months period, but it's not a cash payout. But today is the big deadline to accomplish what many call an historic impossible, and that is coming up, coughing up the cash of nearly $500 million in that civil fraud case, alleged fraud case with New York Attorney General Letitia James. Will Trump speak out? We're waiting for this any moment. In Philadelphia, D.A. Krasner, what's he talking about? What is his latest move? Not talking about crime. No, he's talking about a lawsuit suing the largest pharmaceutical companies in the nation and pharmacy benefit managers over the cost of insulin. That's what D.A. Krasner is talking about. Diabetes and the cost of insulin. So he claims that the leading insulin makers, Eli Lilly, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi Aventis, colluded with top pharmacy benefit managers, including CVS, Express Scripts, and Optum Rx, to keep those insulin prices artificially high and price gouge customers. That's what Krasner's talking about.
You know, normally I am very much against Big Pharma and what they do. But is it really the district attorney's wheelhouse to be specializing in this area, especially considering in his standard line of work, he never really seems to go after anybody? I mean, I don't know. Is this something that would sit well with you? Because your son is diabetic, correct?
Type 1.
Okay.
The issue that I would say is that this is flying in the face of, you know, the state level, whether it's Governor Shapiro, the Attorney General. They already settled that biggity big lawsuit over a lot of this. So, I think that he's trying to put it in the face of, to your point, state officials.
Oh.
He's at odds with.
I was just going to say, is this kind of like payback for the fact that Shapiro's come in and kind of, created this special prosecutor force?
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think that's, and I think to try, look, I don't disagree with anybody talking about insulin prices, because for a type 1 diabetic, without insulin, they're dead within 2 years.
Yeah.
Or less.
Of course.
So, but I will say it's odd to me that a DA would take that on.
It does seem odd.
Number three, and I've gone back and forth on this one. Number three, a change in chicken. I got to go with Chick-fil-A announcing, and they're not the only company that's talking about this, but saying that they're shifting from antibiotic-free chicken starting any minute now this spring, citing all the supply reasons. That they will maintain the supply of high quality chicken, and the antibiotics they use will not in any way interfere with human meds. So this is making headline as far as Chick-fil-A.
Do you think this is a cost cutting measure by Chick-fil-A?
I think it has to do with the supply chain issues that we've seen shortages in chicken, and because of gas prices went higher and all of that.
Yep.
So I think that this will open up their availability to buy from farms who use antibiotics that are not interfering with, that are not important to human medicine.
Okay. By the way, this is a very unpopular opinion, but I can start the trend for the week. I can give the first bad take of the week.
Uh-oh.
Because it's my honest opinion, and that's what I give you every day on the show. Chick-fil-A, wildly overrated.
Agreed.
Incredibly overrated.
Me and my wife just had that discussion the other day. We had the nuggets from there. Just yeah. Like, I just feel like these should be better than they are.
My daughters go nuts for Chick-fil-A and their Chick-fil-A sauce. And it's kind of sacrilege to say in the South because they swear by it. But I would argue KFC and Popeyes and a few other options out there are just as good as Chick-fil-A. Different, but just as good. I've never understood the Chick-fil-A thing. I don't get it.
Well, the one thing with Chick-fil-A is they do a great job of managing and expediting the lines.
They have massive lines.
They have
but
they're amazing at expediting.
The one in Langhorne, I think it is, up there by Sesame Place. It is a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
You get in there, they have, you know, there's two lines, there's somebody right there. It doesn't matter if it's raining, sleeting, snowing, there's somebody in that. They're taking your order. They take you right. It is a well-oiled machine.
They are the complete opposite of like a Starbucks drive-thru.
Yes. Or Wendy's or any of them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so that's the big three. 53 degrees today, bright sunny skies. Watching the forecast carefully because of our Phillies. The home opener is the season opener this Thursday, 3:05 p.m. A lot of excitement as baseball begins in Philadelphia. What will the rain happen earlier and clear out for a beautiful opening day for baseball? We're all crossing our fingers.
All right.
Kale & Company News Live.
Thank you very much, Dawn. We have Ryan in Dover. He's our Morning Mystery Movie Clip winner this morning. Ryan, good morning. What movie did we just play for you, sir?
The Zombieland. Sir.
That is correct. We now call that the Bay Area, by the way.
Or Philadelphia.
Or Philadelphia in Kensington.
Yeah.
All right, congratulations, Ryan. You got the $50 gift card.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I truly appreciate it.
You
got it. I love you guys.
All right. Well, we love you too, brother. Ryan in Dover with us this morning. We'll come back, get to What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2, and we'll do it right after this. It's Kale and Company on a Monday morning on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
My kitchen is the heart of my home. If your kitchen or bath is outdated, you got those dark cabinets or the dark wallpaper, you know, from the 80s or 90s or early 2000s, you know what you need? Kitchen Magic. Yeah, they're going to bring your kitchen or your bath back to life. Kitchen Magic is the full-service remodeler I trust to quickly, beautifully, and affordably transform your kitchen or bath. And right now, they're offering 12 months, no payments, no interest financing, plus 10% off your entire remodel. Just visit them at kitchenmagic.com. Kitchenmagic.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale & Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Two breaks ago, Phil printed out and handed to me in the studio how to remove a squatter in Pennsylvania. We were having that conversation earlier. So I've got a couple of pieces of advice for you. This is directly from the state's website. How to remove a squatter in Pennsylvania, for all of those wanting to know. These are the six things you need to know. Number one, the owner must send a formal eviction notice as per Pennsylvania eviction laws. In Pennsylvania, the possible eviction notices are a 10-day notice to pay or quit, a 15 or 30-day notice to cure or quit. Number two, after the notice period has expired, the owner must file a complaint of forcible detainer with the Pennsylvania Justice of the Peace Court. Number three, the court will issue a summons to court, which must be served to the squatter by the sheriff or another authorized process server. Number four, the owner and adverse possessor must attend a hearing to present evidence of lawful ownership of the property to the judge. Number five, upon confirming ownership, the judge will issue a writ of restitution instructing the squatter to move out within 11 days. And then lastly, if the squatter does not move out, the sheriff will return to forcibly remove them and return possession to the actual owner. So that is the squatting eviction process here in the good old state of Pennsylvania. For any of those that are encountering this new trendy uptick in claiming what is not yours. So there you go.
But they don't really account for in that, and this is the problem for the people that we were talking about, where the where there's a strategy where people are walking around, they're looking for a home that has a for sale sign in front of it. Yep. They realize that the home, that the people have moved, and then they take off, they take the for sale sign off the lawn, they remove it, they move in, and then you have to follow the rules that Nick just said.
Yep.
You have the burden of proof, which is insane.
I know. It really is. Unless you're in Florida, and then the sheriffs encourage you to shoot these people, which we told you about in the cut sheet this morning. All right, let's get to round two of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2.
What's on the Cut Sheet?
Part 2. Last night on 60 Minutes, they did an interview with, a candid interview with Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, talking about all kinds of things on, like, his legacy, the border crisis, and the new policy to fight the cartels. And that's where I'm going to take you first on this Monday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet Part 2. The head of the DEA says the Mexican cartels are mass-producing fentanyl that are entering the U.S. But the president of Mexico lays part of the blame on the United States. Would you like to hear this?
I would.
This is from 60 Minutes last night, and this is Cut 17. Phil, go.
The head of the DEA says cartels are mass-producing fentanyl, and the U.S. State Department has said that most of it is coming out of Mexico. Are they wrong?
Sí.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Or rather, they don't have all the information, because fentanyl is also produced in the United States.
The State Department says most of it's coming from Mexico.
Fentanyl is produced in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico, and the chemical precursors come from Asia. You know why we don't have the drug consumption that you have in the United States? Because we have customs, traditions, and we don't have the problem of the disintegration of the family.
Wow.
But there is drug consumption in Mexico.
But very little.
So why the violence then in Mexico?
Because drug trafficking exists, but not the consumption.
López Obrador says threats by U.S. lawmakers to shut down the border to curb drug trafficking is little more than saber-rattling. That's because last year, Mexico became America's top trading partner.
They could say, we are going to close the border, but we mutually need each other.
What would happen to the U.S. if they closed the border?
You would not be able to buy inexpensive cars if the border is closed. That is, you would have to pay $10,000, $15,000 more for a car. There are factories in Mexico, and there are factories in the United States that are fundamental for all the consumers in the United States and all the consumers in Mexico.
So a lot to unpack there, but due to time constraints, I'll just give you one or two bullets here. So first of all, also keep in mind, fentanyl's coming from China and Asia, and obviously it comes up through the southern border, but it also emanates from Asia. Secondly, how about him taking a swipe at the de-evolution of the family structure in America, which is absolutely accurate, but how about the fact that he's sitting there saying, well, we don't have the drug problem that you... Yeah, no wonder why you guys don't. Because our administration allows them to come across the border and come to America. Yeah, it's hard to keep, it's hard to maintain all these drug addicts and things like that when they're being let out of prison and our border is wide open. Another thing where Trump was right about.
By the way, the drug cartels run Mexico. I mean,
yeah, that guy could be totally bought and paid for as well.
Of course they are. Of course he is. The drug cartels run Mexico.
Yes. The Mexican government, very, very tainted and corrupt.
And by the way, without without American consumers, the drug cartels go out of business. So they need us to be doped up. I'm serious, yeah, right?
Of course. Supply and demand.
Yep.
The demand remains there. It's not going anywhere.
Because they're killing all the Mexican drug addicts.
It's unbelievable.
On Friday night, Bill Maher had a guest, Kara Swisher from the New York Times, who just wrote a book. And they talked about a lot of different things, but this what I want to focus on for a few minutes here is the government and social media companies shutting down the COVID debate. We know that went before the Supreme Court last week, and they discussed that. Bill Maher and her kind of went at it over this subject. This is cut 14. Phil, go.
So I want to ask you about this. Case that's before the Supreme Court, Murphy versus Missouri. Used to be Biden versus Missouri. It's a free speech issue. Mm-hmm. Very interesting to me, because I was always on the page during the pandemic that they should not be shutting down debate about medical matters.
Yes, correct.
I was a dissenter on many of these issues, and as the years roll by now, we see that the dissenting opinions on a lot of these things were quite the right ones. Okay.
Although we still don't. We're not going to know perfectly, but go ahead.
Okay. But we should have been able to argue about whether it came from a lab, which we weren't.
Sure.
Things like that. Natural immunity, whether it was better to go to the beach and get sun and fresh air, as I would have said.
Okay.
As opposed to sitting home and day drinking.
Right. All right.
And putting on weight.
Look, yeah, I'm going to.
They never mentioned that obesity was the biggest factor.
I get it.
They have a lot to answer for. Anyway. Okay,
they do, but you're in the middle of a plague and a debate that people don't know. And so
yes,
you're going to have
to. So you should be able to debate it. This is medicine.
You should,
they don't know.
The moment was not. People make mistakes, and science says it makes mistakes.
Well, this is what the lawsuit is about.
Okay.
Because there were two doctors, Jay Bhattacharya and Martin Kulldorff. They're from Stanford and Harvard.
Right.
And they said, we were shut down. Not always fully, but, there are ways to do that. And they're not radicals. They were saying things like, we're going too far with school closures. Again, I think has been proved right. My question was always, why are your doctors more important than my doctors, the ones I want to listen to? And the social media companies were in the tank with the government, as opposed to what you were just saying before about, you're the watchdog, and you have been.
Right.
They just did the bidding of the government. That's what the lawsuit's about.
So well said. And it's exactly what I've been echoing for years since this pandemic started. We live in a medical world where you're always welcomed to seek a second or third opinion on any diagnosis. You don't like what the doctor says, you can go elsewhere and chase down your illness or chase down a confirmation or a diagnosis. But when it was with COVID, you couldn't. You couldn't question it. And I'm glad that he checks Kara Swisher there. Well, it's science, and science isn't absolute, and we didn't know. Yeah, even more reason why we should be able to debate the science. Anytime the government or Big Pharma tells you just shut up and trust the science, that should be a red flag immediately. That's well said by Bill.
That's what I got, brother.
All right. 9:45, cut sheet part due in the books. We'll come back, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show. Today in music history from our buddy Phil Almquist. And who won Twitter today? It's all still ahead. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company winding things down on this beautiful Monday morning.
So we love instant feedback here.
Yes, we do.
Whether it's positive, negative, it doesn't matter. We just want to hear your opinions. You can do that on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Although there was a story over the weekend that Instagram is limiting political content. So I wonder how that's going to shape for the videos that we post on Instagram. That being said, Dan Boy writes on Twitter that bad move trashing the CFA. Were you guys trashing the CFA?
First of all, what CFA, what is he talking about?
If you can't find anything else to call out, then you are not living. Nothing's perfect, but they are as good as it gets in the world we live in today. And are training youth on the right way to do things. Bad move, folks.
Well, let me ask a very entry-level question. What is the CFA?
I don't know. I'm just reading a tweet.
Don, do you have any idea what the CFA is?
He said we were trashing the CFA?
Yeah. I don't even know what the CFA is. Okay.
Is it Chick-fil-A Association?
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, that could be it.
Hang on. Let me.
The CFA Institute.
Usually, it has to do with financial. Yeah, I was thinking it was a financial thing. I'm like, did we?
Global Association of Investment Professionals.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, we weren't talking about finances.
Nope.
Chick-fil-A. I don't know. We weren't bashing Chick-fil-A.
Phil's saying Chick-fil-A abbreviation.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, you guys were saying you don't think it's as or you think it's overrated?
I think it's vastly overrated.
I don't. It's delicious.
Okay.
I didn't say anything because I'm always dieting, so I can't trust me. If I could get Chick-fil-A, I would like devour it.
I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat Chick-fil-A or I don't have it, but I just...
I agree with you. It's not what everybody says. People think it's the greatest chicken of all time.
It's delicious.
Well, delicious and being overrated are two totally...
Yes.
We should have had this conversation when I said this the first time around. I didn't know you were such an adamant defender of Chick-fil-A. I just think I'm a Popeyes guy first and foremost. But having lived in Nashville, you haven't had real fried chicken until you've had Nashville hot chicken. That will just blow your lid off.
Agreed.
If you like hot food.
I agree. Fried chicken should be some sort of like a southern staple.
It is. It's just
making everybody hungry.
I know. I'm going to make some fried chicken when I get home today.
It's nothing. It's just, I don't know. Their nuggets are fine. I don't know. They're
fast food. How good could it be?
They're good, but it's not like mind-numbingly amazing.
No, I would rather make chicken myself at home, but you know,
people get in their feelings about this stuff too because you know,
because they're hungry.
Yeah.
No, that and who they represent, because Chick-fil-A is quote unquote right leaning. You know what I mean? Because they have Christian values.
Yeah, I applaud them for that. I also think their chicken's overrated.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Dawn, what do we got lined up top of the hour?
And there's so much breaking with DJT, two different courtrooms in Manhattan. We're watching that very carefully. And obviously, we'll bring, you know, we'll take it live if Trump speaks, which often he does as he's walking into a courtroom any moment now. So we'll bring you that. You're not going to miss a thing because we're live and local, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. That's why Greg made it so that we never miss a beat. So we'll talk about that. Something that was, I think, missed or maybe not missed by the mainstream media, but I do want to get into the Afghanistan withdrawal and some important admissions by military leadership and some pretty profound statements that were made during testimony last week. Want to get into that one as well. What's going on in Philadelphia, Krasner leadership and beyond. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, more on law enforcement with our friend Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. She'll be here in the 11 a.m. hour to help us break things down. There's just so much breaking right now. Can't even go through all of it, but we're just going to keep you posted all the way through.
All right, Dawn, looking forward to that top of the hour as we get to today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history.
March 25th, we celebrate the birthdays of Jeff Healey, Aretha Franklin, and Elton John. Pretty good list. We also lost Taylor Hawkins to the Foo Fighters on this day in 2022. Notable albums include Linkin Park's Meteora from 2003, Deep Purple's Machine Head from 72, and Heart Attack by Crocus in 88. Also, Elvis Presley bought Graceland on this day in 57. America's a Horse with No Name hit number one in 72. INXS played their first U.S. show in 83. The Who also played their first U.S. show on this date in 67. And lastly, on this date in 2007, Elton John set the then record for the most shows played at Madison Square Garden in New York when he performed for the 60th time on his 60th birthday. Side note, Billy Joel plays its 100th show next month, and I'll be at the 101st show in May. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Great work out of Phil. How about that? A lot of little nuggets in there.
Crocus. Oh, my Lord.
By the way, best, you're a Foo Fighters guy, right?
Yeah.
Favorite Foo Fighters song of all time?
Aurora. Off of whatever that 1999 album is called.
I was jamming out to Everlong over the weekend. I had that on loop.
That's a great song. Yeah. It's a good gym song. It's a fabulous song, but it's been overplayed.
Okay. Yeah, that's usually my wheelhouse, and that's usually what you hate. That's why I brought it up. All right, let's get to who won Twitter today.
Who won Twitter?
Hasan Bin Sober says, my kids were always well-behaved in restaurants. The only time I was embarrassed was when my five-year-old yelled loud enough for everyone to hear, look how fat that guy is.
Sloppy Chris Christie.
Oh, that's it. We didn't know if it was him.
I mean, it's fair to assume.
I love kids because there's no filter. They will just say whatever's on their mind.
Oh, they will.
It's awesome.
They believe in free speech.
You want to know how good or bad you're looking that day? Just ask
Your kid. Yep. No doubt. All right. That'll do it for us. Everybody have a great rest of your Monday. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is next. We're back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And as our favorite senator would say,
good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.